Well, good Tuesday morning, everybody. How are you all doing? This is CA, your on-air personality, your encourager, your independent clergy, and your friend here on the iHeartRadio Network, along with the Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show here at Beautiful Faith Studio 1 in beautiful Fort Worth, Texas. Guys, we've got a great show lined up today. I'm going to be able to tell you about it here in just a little bit. I want to remind you, if you have any questions, comments, suggestions, you can always email me, morningsbrew@gmail.com. Again, morningsbrew@gmail.com. Also, check that like button for free and like us on our Facebook page, the Morning Brew Christian Podcast. And we'd sure love it if you do that. And, you know, share our podcast anytime. We're very encouraging. I'm also your encourager, too, as well. So, today we are going to tell you guys here in just a bit about our show. I hope everybody had a great Easter time with your family, also celebrating that He is risen, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what an exciting time. It's not just even on Easter, it's every day we should know our Lord and Savior, He is risen. Amen. Amen. Well, let's talk about what's going to happen on our show on a Tuesday. That's right, only on the Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show. All right, I got a great Bible devotion coming up. A living sacrifice. Going to talk a little bit about that on my Bible devotion. Also, I am going to be, by request, I'm going back through some articles that I did some studies on. And I want to give you guys, there's 10 reasons why depression makes church hard. I've had some people ask me, hey CA, can you talk about that? Sure. I'm also going to give you a depression toll-free 1-800 number or 1-877 number if you're depressed. It's all going to make sense, okay? Again, I'm going to give you 10 reasons why depression makes church hard. And I'm going to help you with that. That's a study I did back a long time ago. Let me tell you first and foremost, I am not picking on any churches. I'm not picking on any pastors, so don't think of it as a rant. I just had some particular individuals email me and ask me, CA, will you cover that? Sure. So I went back through my biblical archives. I do have biblical archives that I've taught on before. And this was back in the early 90s that I did some on, so when I was in Bible college, so I think you're going to like that. All right, also, we got the deacon, Deacon Paul Brown with the Castleberry Baptist Church. He's here. And Coach Stan, he's here. He went to the Ranger game last night. Or yesterday afternoon, we're going to hear all about it. All right, let's get those jumping jacks ready. What do you say? Come on. Ready? One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. Wait a minute. Wait. I don't think that was done right. Right? Let's try it again. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. Four, three, two, one. Let's roll. On a Tuesday. All right. And we are talking about that, of course, being Tuesday, April the 6th, 2021. All right, today's Bible devotion, friends, is on a living sacrifice. You know, Scripture reminds us in the book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. It says, present yourselves to God as being alive and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. You know, the Apostle Paul was a splendid example of a disciplined Christian. He said that I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which you are reasonably service. Find that in the book of Romans, chapter 12 and verse 1. In fact, that particular scripture was read off the King James Version. If you've ever given yourselves to Christ, then you have come to live within us. And our bodies are now the temples, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Now we must act worthy of Him who lives within us. Discipline both our bodies and our minds so that we do not bring dishonor to Him. We pray, as Jeremy Taylor once said, let my body be a servant of my spirit and my both body and spirit servants of Jesus. You see, friends, Paul knew that Christ has sacrificed his body for salvation. And the only reasonable thing to do in response was to give his body as a living sacrifice to Christ. Let me challenge you to commit your body and your mind to Christ, which is a reasonable service. Amen. Amen. All right, well, first off, I'm going to go ahead and call off here. Deacon, stand by, Deacon. Hang on, he's getting antsy. Deacon, we're going to bring you in second. I'm going to go ahead and get ready. Let's get ready for Coach Dan. Here we go. Boy, I could let that song go on and on and on, but I'm not going to do that to Coach Dan. He only likes me to play it on a certain level. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give a cheer. And how about a mighty long hand clap here at the Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show on iHeartRadio? How about some morning crow for him? I'm going to give him a laugh. He does crack me up. All right, come on, give him a whistle. Yeah, we only do that really during football time, right? Unless there's something that's aired. All right. All right, let's see. How about drum roll? And fanfare. Yep. Countdown for him.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, your friend, my friend, you got it. Coach Dan. Hello, Coach Dan. How you doing? Welcome again as my season man here on the Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show. Well, hello there, CA. Popcorn, peanuts, hot dogs, cold drinks. There you go. We're going to be talking about the Texas Rangers. I heard you went to the game, and Deacon wants to ask you some questions when I get him on board. Why, Deacon, I'll tell you what, he's getting mighty antsy. Yeah, he is. He's been wanting to talk to you, my friend, so I want you to stand by here in just a moment. In fact, let's go ahead and get him on. What do you say? Yeah, let's do the intro, CA. Popcorn, peanuts, hot dogs, cold drinks. There you go. Hey, don't forget the pink things if they still do it. Oh, yeah, pink things. Yeah, well, that's at Six Flags. All right, let's get ready for the Deke, everybody. Deacon Paul Brown, Castleberry Baptist Church, Tyler, Texas. Okay, Deacon. He's sitting over here spinning around. Let's give a mighty long cheer. Your fan favorite next to Coach Dan. Round of applause. Yes, Morning Crow. I want to laugh at him. Why not? Whistle at him. All right, drum roll. Fanfare. Countdown.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, your friend, my friend, Deacon Paul Brown with the Castleberry Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas. Hello, Deke.
Well, hello there. Hello, everybody. Hello, Coach Dan. And hello there, CA. This is Deacon Paul Brown with the Castleberry Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas. Now, CA, I went with Miss Mildred. Coach Dan, I went with my lovely wife, Miss Mildred. I heard you went to the ballpark in Arlington. Is that what I'm understanding? This new ball field, the Globe Life, right?
I sure did. I was there, and I tell you what there, Dick, and I really enjoyed it. It was packed to capacity, but we had our mask on. That's right. That's right.
See, I can't help but just laugh at Coach Daddy. It's so funny. Popcorn, hot dog, peanuts. Cold drink. Yeah, okay.
All right, Deacon, now be nice to him.
Well, see, hey, I'm trying all I can to be nice. Yeah, let me tell you about something. Coach Dan, I'm going to share with you. I'm surprised I didn't run into you there, but I was actually at the Texas Ranger game last night.
Were you really?
Yes, I was.
Well, that's good there, Deacon. I didn't know.
Well, sadly, our Texas Rangers lost 6-2 to the Toronto Blue Jays. Almost called them Bulldogs. But let me tell you what happened. Miss Mildred had this itch. Coach Dan, she said, honey, I want you to go up here and go get 2 hot dogs, a big box of popcorn, and then I want you to also get 2 cold drinks.
Yeah?
So when we did, well, I did. I stood in some mighty long lines. They went through 2 innings, SEA, before I got back and got to my seat.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I bet you wasn't a happy camper.
No, I wasn't. Not at all.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, Mary Deacon. Coach Dan don't have to worry about that because all I got to do is try to yell at one of the boys and say, hey, popcorn, peanuts, hot dogs, cold drinks.
That's because you used to be a little concession boy there, buddy.
Well, Deacon, that ain't very nice for you to say that.
Okay, boys, okay, cool down. We try to have a little round table with y'all, and that's what you want to talk about. Okay, well, that being said, so the Texas Rangers lost. Now, Stan, Coach Stan, I should say, did you have fun?
CA, that is the most prettiest ballpark that I've ever seen. And I'm going to tell you something right now. It was filled to capacity. But I'm going to tell you something right now. It was fun. And we really had a good time. And I'm surprised I didn't run into the Deke. But you know, that's okay. Because I'm going to see him one day out there at the ball field or when he comes and watch the Yogi Berra's play.
Well, that's right. I can't wait to see the Yogi Berra's play. Y'all need to come to Tyler, Texas, and let's do some autographing at the Castleberry Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas. Now, Brother Johns wouldn't mind opening up the church doors for you and letting you kind of do it. Or, if you want, I can also talk to the staff at the Turnip Cafe, because yours truly eats there nearly every Sunday. Me and Miss Mildred, we do, of course, because she likes the apple pie.
Well, that's another thing. Apple pie, baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, Chevrolet.
You talking 1970s, young man.
Well, there you go, guys. Y'all are hilarious. But anyway, I'm glad you had fun. I'm glad both of you guys went and watched the Texas Rangers, even though they lost. It's a beautiful ballpark. I've never been to it. I heard that it has cut the attendance down some versus what it would be at the old original ballpark over in Arlington. I love that place. They should have domed that. In my opinion, they should have domed it. You know, that's just the way it is. They get 20 years on them, 25 years, and all of a sudden they, oh, let's build another ballpark. So, but anyway, that's just my opinion. But it is beautiful. I see the retractor on it, and it's nice that they can enclose it in for people to actually breathe with cool air in there.
But yeah, I would tell you something. It was comfortable there, brother. In the 70s, mid-70s, we really enjoyed it.
Yeah, we did, didn't we? I don't know where you said it. I was somewhere out in left field. It was so back. Yeah, I understand, guys. I understand. All right, well, y'all have a good week. Glad we talked a little baseball. We'll catch you next week. Bye, guys.
But see, before I let you go, I just want to say one thing. Coach Stan, I look forward and I still give you the invite to the Castleberry Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas. Or, if you were to, you're more than welcome, and we can meet up for lunch at the Turnip Cafe again.
Well, that sounds like a good deal there, Deacon.
All right, sounds good. We'll get together after we leave here at the studio.
That's right. Y'all go talk about it. We're going to play Impossible right now, building 429.
Yeah.
There we go. T-Mac, his new song, Help Is On The Way. And yes, indeed. Well, today, friends, I want y'all to share this podcast. It's very important. It was very heavy on my heart. I had some listeners from out of state, I'm not going to give any names of them, ask me if I would revisit back on my early years and talk about this. And these are some true stories, but this is 10 reasons why depression makes church hard for people. And I'm also going to give you a 1-800 number or 1-888 number if you're having any trouble with depression, okay? And there's two numbers I want to give you. The first one is the Samaritan Hotline, and you may want to make note of this. 1-877-870-4673. They will provide you compassionate support to anyone who is feeling anxious and confused. Anybody feeling isolated, depressed, or anything at all, I want you guys to give them a call, okay? And we'll go through that again. Also, there's another number I want to give you for help on any kind of addictions or anything. 1-800-662-4357, okay? And I'll be giving you those numbers here in just a little while. I want to read a story to you about a young lady, and this is a true story back on my Bible notes on my archives. So we're going to start off with this 10 reasons why depression makes church hard. Now, this girl talks about, and this is a true story, she writes, "When I was 16 years old, I struggled with depression. However, when I accepted the Lord at age 18, that depression was lifted from me. Although that my reality, and one of which I am grateful for, is not the reality for everyone. This is especially difficult for the believer. There seems to be a general stigma with church attendees and those struggling with mental illness, because church feels ill-equipped to deal with this growing epidemic. Attenders often throw around clinches and platitudes like, just believe and pray more and things will get better, or if you just increase your faith, God will remove it from you. Yet these attitudes make us more like the friends of Job rather than the followers of Christ. I put this question out to friends." This is what this teenager said at the time on social media, which makes their responses when you ask them, "What makes church hard for you when you're struggling with depression?" So what this 16-year-old girl did, and I'm going to read them to you because I just felt it. I had people ask me, would I do this? Because there are people that are dealing with either their kids going through depression, going through tough times, or maybe the church, they're going through Job experiences. And we're going to probably revisit Job here in the near future. So when the 16-year-old girl, and I'm trying to explain it, who found Christ in her life, but yet as we read what she had read on this article that I had from way back, she felt like she was going through these Job moments, but yet that some of the churches were kind of into what their own thing. Now, I'm not downing any churches. Please don't think that. I'm not, and God knows I'm not. I'm just doing this on behalf of some people that have asked me if I would do this. Okay? And this is from this lady who's now 18 years old. This is what she wrote. She went on social media, and you can judge social media. To me, let me give you my opinion of social media first off. Social media is good and bad. Okay? Well, CA, what do you mean by good and bad? Well, here's how I'm going to give you social media in my opinion. For me, it's a good outreach ministry to encourage people that are down and out. But it can also be a depressing situation when you're sitting there reading situations of people that are sad, or they're putting things on social media that looks like it can, and you can sense it in the spirit of the Lord, especially if you're a Christian, that are going through things as depression or addictions or whatever it may be. But we as body of believers need to keep in mind, because the church is really, if you think about it, guys, and let me go back before we get started into this. The church is a body of believers, okay, that believe in the same purpose, that believe that Jesus Christ is the only one. He is the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Almighty God, and that He is our God. He is our Creator. Now, there's a lot of Bible Belt churches that are different ways on different religion. Best thing I can tell you to do is one day up in heaven, realize there's only going to be one religion, and that's worshiping the Almighty God, our God up in heaven, especially if you're a believer. So what I'm fixing to read to you is not from my biblical, it's from my biblical notes on what a 16, now she's 18 years old, on her behalf she did some time ago, and we did it on our podcast show when we were in the very early stages nearly 3 years ago. She went on social media and she asked a bunch of people, and this is what they talked about when they talked about depression. Okay, and I hope this reaches somebody out there, if not one, many others. And you're more than welcome to share this, okay? A deceased interest in being in a community was one thing. The number one. We're going to read all 10 of them. One of the most important aspects of a vibrant relationship with the Lord is life together with others in a community. When you are depressed, however, you often have a decreased interest in social activities. And they're right. That is true. When you are depressed, you don't want to do all these social activities. This can prevent you from having a deep connection associated with being in a community with others. We need others to help us walk together in our daily Christian walk. Amen. I will agree with that. Some of our churches out in America need a wake-up call. OCA, the pandemic. Yes, it's beyond the pandemic. I've preached it out before. Churches all across America, they just got to pick up the phone and they've got to call people and they've got to check on their members and stuff. It's very important. Don't wait a year later and realize that, oh, I need to do that. Do it now. Now is the time, as Dr. Graham would say, the late Billy Graham. But if you're opting to stay at home and watch TV instead of developing meaningful relationships, this will make you mending through your Christian walk and more difficult. And that is true. That was some points. Now, these are points from people saying on social media that were combined that this 18-year-old, now she's 18-year-old lady, she might even be older than that now, had put on this post. And I wanted to share all this with you guys, especially people suffering from depression. Another point was on number two was physical pain that prevents them from regular attendance. See, depression can manifest in many symptoms, less common of which is physical aches and pains. So if you're living with chronic pain, it may be difficult to get out of bed to attend church. While watching church services on TV may feed your mind, it won't feed your soul in a way regular church service with face-to-face relationships would. And again, COVID threw a lot of this off for us. And the pastors, hats off to them, are trying to get creative, doing the YouTubes and stuff like that. But they're getting depressed about it. And I'm telling all my pastor friends out there, all across America, including the USO Radio Network, do not give up. Put all the faith, hope, and trust in the Lord, and He will guide the path through this. Please do not get discouraged. Even pastors get discouraged. So just hang in there and just keep working on it and pray for your members, pray for your church, and be creative, guys. Pastors, be creative. I can't tell you enough. Be creative. I mean, if you're doing Zoom calls still with your team or social distance, get creative with your children's church director, with your youth minister. Get creative. He and she or whoever it may be, get creative. Try to think of something to reach these hearts. You can't force somebody to go to church, but you can try to get creative in ideas and just pray and keep praying. It's all you can do. Third point that was mentioned was a feeling of separation from God. Many responders said they felt it was a spiritual battle between their hearts and their heads, that their heads believed that God loved them, but their hearts felt emotions felt otherwise, causing a feeling of separation from a God who longs to be close to them. So when it would be more beneficial to attend church more, responders said they actually chose to isolate themselves from a Christian community whom they believed didn't understand them. Another point on number 4 point, that is a certain burst of sadness makes the scene during worship. You know, depression can cause intense and unpredictable mood changes, and it can, swinging into the emotional pendulum, as we well know, between happiness and sadness rather quickly. This is difficult enough to control in day-to-day life. But when you are immersed in worship and a sudden burst of sadness overcomes you, as can happen when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, if you cause a burst of uncontrollable crying, causing a person additional embarrassment. Fifth point, we're halfway there. Trouble sleeping makes it hard to focus during after church activities. And that's true. This is what some of the people said on social media. Common misconception is that those depressed with depression sleep all day, which is true. Although this may be true for some, others find lying awake all night, which is another true factor, making it increasingly difficult to get up in the morning to go to church. Medications mess up with sleep patterns, further complicating the problem. Sixth point that was mentioned was increased anxiety in social situations. Ironically, anxiety and depression go hand in hand, don't they? I agree with that. While some may not feel down all the time, the emotional pendulum might swing between the bouts of depression and extreme anxiety in a relative quick span of time. This may cause sufferers to greatly fear social situations with fellow church members. Some days, the greatest accomplishment for those plagues with the depression or the anxiety is to get out and socialize with those around him, and that's true. Seventh point, a lack of misunderstanding about mental illness. It's all in your head, and taking medicine means your lack of faith. Were just some of the comments that were ignorant about illness that had for depression, and they found out he or she couldn't take medication to cope with it. While I don't think believers more quickly run to the medicine cabinet before running to the elders or some disease needed for other resources to give relief, we need to understand that it's difficult enough to take medicine, yet alone admit to those closest to them. You see, the more open we are to allowing God to use whatever means necessary to promote healing, the quicker those who fear entering the church doors may decide to put one foot in and the other walk into the church entry once again. Eighth point that was mentioned, a difficulty sharing feelings openly with others for fear of judgment. You know, so often when we enter the church, many fellow churchgoers ask, how we doing? Churches I've been at, same thing. Hey, CA, how you doing? I'm doing great. We put that mask on, don't we? Think about it. Everybody's got a problem. Everybody's got an issue, depression or not. Everybody's got some kind of a problem, and we have a way of covering it up. But God knows. He knows, as Jeremy Camp sings. But instead of giving an honest answer, we settle for a simple reply of, I'm fine. I've said that before. Although 5 minutes before worship begins may not be ample time to launch into all that struggling, what we're struggling with. Choose to take the time to find one person who you can trust, who you can confide in. This will reduce your symptoms significantly. And I agree. Find you someone that you're close to. Find you a friend. Find you someone that is a best friend. Maybe it's your husband, your wife. Wives, maybe it's your husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, or just your best friend or your bestie friend, whoever it may be that you want to talk to. Here's another point, a fear of not measuring up against the Sunday mask. Many responders say that they feel like they've had to defend their own worth and put on their mask. Well, I think everybody has. much like their brothers and sisters in Christ. Most said they would love to be part of the body, and they valued the authenticity over perfection. In a church culture where looking perfect is valued above looking real, the depressed feel that they are at the grave disadvantage because they can't get it all together. They try to measure up, but often feel they may fall short. And the last point is a strong surge to keep silent. For many, keeping silent was a better alternative than admitting that they had illness in the first place. The lack of a healthy self concept compels churchgoers to suffer in silence in an attempt to pretend the illness doesn't even exist, or in particularly struggle with it. Don't struggle with it. If the enemy could keep Adam silent as he stood next to Eve while she took that life-altering first bite of the apple, can he silence those who are battling against an effort to the glory rather than to God? So what can the church do about this? This is what they said. And this is from social media. Pastors, you may want to listen to this. As emphasized with many people who are suffering at the pew, I feel it is necessary to offer some strategies. That's right. Hello, church pastor friends. Strategies that the church can implement to help so many people, for those who long to be a part of their local church, but can't muster up the strength and courage to do so. So, what is it we do? We need to reverse the stamina. As a church, we need to stop believing the lie that prayer and the Bible reading are the only two necessary remedies to this increasing epidemic. This is what they're saying. This ain't from CA. This is what they have did of their little survey on social media some years ago. Although God can do the miraculous, which he can, we know he can, in the instantaneous healing of those who ask, sometimes that is not his will. God's will is for us to all be healed. And that's true. He wants all of us to be healed. But not all will be healed in this life. We live in a broken world. Amen. I got to agree. We do live in a broken world. God uses many sources to achieve healing, including medicine and the help of trained professionals. So no matter how much we pray, which we need to continue to pray, sometimes healing with outside sources like medicine is a solution. That's what they were saying. So another thing that they talk about too is opening up on social media when they did all these surveys. And I wanted to share this. Out of all the answers, the 18-year-old girl back when she did all this, she said, I received my question. Nothing was more eye-opening than the sheer volume of those quick to respond. We need to be more aware of the growing problem. Although we may not have the specific solution for those who need, but we do have one thing, the benefit of all those suffering and listening ear. Amen. People need to listen. Sometimes the best thing we can offer is closed lip and open ears. This may be the best example of Jesus we can give to those inhabiting the pew next to us. Another thing they mention is recognizing the Bible. And she writes on here, while we may be the grain of the truth that is all in our head, the reality is that our spiritual battles are going on in heaven right now, and we're not aware of it. Some of the battles take place in our minds and our hearts. The best way is not to give Satan grounds to continue this plague, is to take away his power. See, Adam could not refute the seeds of the doubts that Satan planted in Eve's mind by simply stating the truth. The Bible is full of the truth and about the Savior who claimed he was the truth. Memorize and meditate on his word. Fill your mind with the words from those that know Jesus best. This will help you refute the lies and that you are less and worthy more because of those mentally battles that you're going through. Another thing they recommend is hire a professional. Many churches would benefit by referring or enlisting the services of professional counselors. It don't necessarily, now I'm going to have to put my two cents in, pastor friends that I know. It don't necessarily, I'm glad that some pastors have counselors, but it don't necessarily have to be their counselors. Now that's where I had to kind of put my two cents in on this. I would recommend pray about it. If you don't feel good about the particular counselor that they have at the church, don't do it. You can get outside help, or if I can help you with help, you can always email me, morningsbrew@gmail.com. It ain't required if you're a member at a church to actually use. The pastor will probably recommend, but if you don't feel good about it, then don't do it. You don't need to tell this particular he or she your problem. Okay? All their job is to listen and give you the best advice they can. They're not God. But their job is to encourage and counsel. But there are some that just say, okay, we got so-and-so on staff and stuff if you need them, which is nice. However, if you don't feel good about it, don't. I will tell you that. Okay, I'm not trying to down and step toes on church pastors that I know all across the world. I'm just telling you, use your book smart. There's a lot of professionals out there, but I recommend praying. My strength is through the Lord personally. I don't need a counselor. Now, there may be other people that need counselors, and that's understandable. But my counselor is Christ. That's who I come to in prayer and intercess prayer. Of course, I'm an independent clergy, so I just kind of do things a little different. But if you are needing help through a professional counselor at a church, if your church pastor, again, recommends it, first off, pray about it before you jump and say, okay, yeah, I'm going to do it. Because that's a matter between you and God. Most pastors, if they're book smart, would say, okay, I can recommend somebody, but pray about it first. If I was pastoring a church, which I'm not, that's why I'm an independent clergy, because I travel all around different churches. I don't hold account to any. No church holds account to me except God, because I'm an independent clergy. So what I recommend, NCA's part of it, and this is encouragement, is pray about it. And again, if your church pastor says, hey, I got somebody and you feel good about it, then go to him. Let he or she, whoever their pastor is, at that particular church, refer you to so-and-so. Or get a hold of me. I got a lot of professional counselors that I know all across the world that would be more than glad to help you with your situation. And I got additional helps too, guys, so stand by. And they're also maybe be able to provide you with additional aid and with financial issues, as many insurances do not cover counseling, which sadly some of them don't, depends where you work at, as covered service. If the church is using unbudgeted funds to pay a professional, it would be providing a life-saving service to those in need. Another thing that they recommended on here I wanted to tell you as we get closer to closing on this particular situation is offer to meet someone one-on-one, and that's a good way. Since most of us don't like it to the church because of the physical pain or maybe the fear or lack of interest, do what you can to meet them one-on-one. This would be meet to continue maybe at like Starbucks coffee or something. That's a good place for fellowship, so you can show the person who is struggling and that you really care about them and you want to invest in their well-being. And the last point I want to make in closing on that they talk about is don't give up. Just because someone says they don't want to socialize doesn't mean that they won't ever. Continue to pray. That is the key. And I'm glad they mentioned this on social media. Continue to pray and ask God to reveal what is the best offer, a listening ear or advice, even if the depressed person refuses previously. They may not express it, but meaning you care means a big deal to them. And although the church may not be an ultimate solution for increasing epidemic in the bud, it does offer the help. So just remember that. Okay? And that's just some friendly advice. Now, I want to give you, before we pray, I want to give you in closing, if you're going through troubled times, if you're going through situations of depression, I want to give you two numbers. Pen and paper ready. 1-877-870-4673. Again, 1-877-870-4673. It is the Samaritan's Helpline. They provide compassionate support to anyone who is feeling anxious and confused. Any adult feeling isolated, depressed, or suicidal can reach out to the Samaritan support again. Third time, pen and paper ready, 1-877-870-4673. Also, got one more number for you. That is called SAMHSA National Hotline. If you're going through mental or drug disorder. 1-800-662-4357. Again, pen and paper ready. I'll do it two more times. 1-800-662-4357. One more time. 1-800-662-4357. Again, that's a 24/7, 365 day a year, just like that other one was. Treatment, referral, information service for individuals facing mental or substance disorders. Okay? All right. Well, as I get ready, I know it was a different podcast today, but I felt it in my heart. Really, I'm not a counselor. I'm more of an encourager, but I will tell you the secret remedy for me when you're down and out is prayer. And that would be to give it to God and know that He is Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Almighty God. And He is there. Intercess with Him. And if I can help you as your encourager here at the Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show, guys, I can do that for you. Email me, morningsbrew@gmail.com, or Facebook message me. You can on the Facebook Messenger. Hey, CA, question, I have a question. I'm down and out. Or contact me and we can talk, me or my ministry team. Go to the Morning Brew Christian Podcast Facebook page. Like me if you want to, or click on contact now and you can text me. Or you can call me. Give me your name, first name only, and state. We never ask for your last name. If you got blessed by this and if we helped you, please let me know. I greatly appreciate that. All right, let's lead off in a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all you do. Father God, we love you and we pray for a good Tuesday. Be with us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, this is CA. I'm not going to play any closeout music on the iHeartRadio Network. Remember, the sun does rise on the other side. Do not be depressed because God is with you. It's going to be a happy Tuesday. And we will talk soon. Saddling up, leaving Faith Studio 1. Have a great Tuesday. Bye for now.